The House Transportation Committee will come to order. The time now is 1:06 p.m. Thursday, March 31, 2016. Members present, we have with us Representative Ortiz, Co-Chair Representative Hughes, Representative Magiak, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Foster. Before us today, we have House Bill 292, which is Municipal Contributions to Alaska Marine Highway. I'd like to welcome Representative Keto, the bill sponsor, and also with us today and available for questions, we have Mike Lessman from the Department of Transportation, as well as Robert Venables from the Southeast Conference. And we also have Captain Mike Newsel from the Department of Transportation and Alaska Marine Highway on the line for questions. So, Representative Keo, welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sam Keto III. I'm representative from District 33, downtown Juneau, Douglas Island, Skagway, Haines, Klukwan, Gustavus, and Excursion Inlet. And I want to thank you very much for hearing House Bill 292. So, House Bill 292, the bill before you, really is a fairly basic bill. It provides statutory authority for the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund to receive contributions from municipalities. It is a one-line bill, and sectional analysis is Section 1, adds a line to Marine Highway System Fund deposits to include money contributed to the Alaska Marine Highway System by a municipality. One of the things that I had a conversation with the Department of Transportation about is to make sure it's a clarification that there would not be an expectation that a community would provide revenue in order to guarantee certain levels of service, but that it's an opportunity, in my opinion, for the Department of Transportation to go out, work with individual communities, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a Marine Highway System-served community. Directly, it could be a community like Anchorage or Fairbanks that feels a benefit to the Marine Highway System is useful for the entire state of Alaska. I don't anticipate a specific project or a specific role for the funding, but do think that the Department of Transportation would be able to identify certain roles for available funding that might be able to be collected from municipalities that see a benefit to the Marine Highway System. One idea, though, that came up after I put the bill in was that right now the Southeast Conference is trying to identify sources of revenue to do a management or management study for the Marine Highway System, and there might be, if there was a contribution from municipalities, opportunity for maybe to utilize some of the funds to do some of that. One of the big things that I'm trying to do in this case really is find ways to help bring municipalities in Alaska to the table with the Department of Transportation. The closest analogy I can think of is something akin to a shareholder. So say they pay a fee or an amount. I would anticipate that Department of Transportation, of course, could structure it in a way they want, but that they could utilize that interaction or that connection or that payment to bring those communities to the table when they're considering schedule changes or levels of service or rate changes and things like that, to create kind of a larger committee that could be engaged to help provide a sounding board or a mechanism for communities to be more directly heard in the Marine Highway System planning process. So that's kind of the basics of it. I think I see it more as a tool to bring the communities more to the table with the Department of Transportation, get them talking, maybe even formally over some kind of a memorandum of understanding or memorandum of agreement, that you become engaged as a shareholder in the Marine Highway System, and you have the ability to participate in these various activities that DOT will engage in that impact the communities. So that's the basic presentation. It's a tool that may or may not be used. I mean, if communities don't see a value to it or are concerned about how it would work, really it's going to be up to DOT and the communities to sit down, get together, and figure out how best to utilize that. Then there may even, I anticipate right now, because we've got funding issues, that there may be opportunities in the future to look at if you've got, say, $1 million or something that is identified through a memorandum of understanding, that could become a regular funding source. I don't anticipate that happening for several years because we're still in flux to try and stabilize the Marine Highway System. My goal really is to also work with the Marine Highway System to help them find efficiencies to try and decrease their state subsidy so they can increase the amount that they recover from the fare box. All of these pieces in conjunction, my hope is, will make the Marine Highway System more efficient and more effective for the whole state in the future. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Pito. Are there any questions of the committee? Our question, Representative Hughes.
Hi. Thank you, Representative Pito, for bringing forward. I appreciate your looking at ways to think outside the box here regarding funding for the ferry system. Have any communities at this point expressed an interest, or were you asked by a community to do this? Or I'm just wondering where the communities are coming down. I don't see AML in the room, for instance, and just wondering what they're thinking.
Thank you, Co-Chair Hughes. We have had conversations with the Alaska Municipal League. I've had conversations with representatives from communities. At this point, they are interested in seeing what it might be able to do for them. So there are concerns that if they provide contributions to the Marine Highway, that then funding comes out from the other side. But that's something that I think DOT would have to be able to have the flexibility to negotiate. No community had asked me to do this, but when I heard various people talking about different ways that we wanted to try and have communities at the table, the Lieutenant Governor, when he first started talking about the Marine Highway System and what could we do to try and bring communities to the table, he had talked about trying to have a summit and bringing representatives from different areas into a conference to discuss the Marine Highway or the future of the Marine Highway System. It seemed to me that if we actually had a mechanism for a formal role for a municipality, it could give people a seat at the table. And so it really came from just trying to think about how we can keep people all in a room talking to each other about the benefits of the Marine Highway System.
And follow up, and that what your response was a great lead into my next question, because earlier you talked about people coming to the table, and I recently attended part of the Southeast Conference that was focused on transportation and the ferry system, and appreciate their leadership and trying to figure out how they can keep the service and make it more affordable. And it kind of concerns me. I don't think you're meaning that in order for them to have a seat at the table, that they would need to be putting money in the bucket. But it kind of sounded that way, so I want to just give you an opportunity, because I would think every community, I would think DOT would want to hear from every community and not just if they were contributing something. So did you mean that there'd be like a special group for those that were putting money in that would be, just explain.
Co-Chair Hughes, and that's definitely something for DOT to work on. They do provide information to communities. They do receive input from the Marine Transportation Advisory Board, and they do conduct public meetings in communities to get feedback. Right now, there's not a formal organization. I guess whether or not you're a member of this organization, would that exclude other people from their voices being heard? I would not anticipate that would be the case, but people that are putting some money forward should have the opportunity to be able to be directly in communication with DOT, and that opportunity could also provide openings for other communities to be engaged in whatever that process might be. So I wouldn't anticipate that it would be an exclusionary process, but it would create or provide a forum for municipalities to have kind of a more formal direct relationship with the communities.
Follow up? Yeah, I appreciate that clarification, because there are different communities have different capacities, and they can also community have a good year, bad year kind of thing. So I just would, and I think DOT would be of the mindset to be communicating with all of them. But I just wanted to give you a chance to clarify that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for the questions.
Yes, thank you.
We have a question from Representative Hughes. Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Keto, for presenting this bill. So, after your explanation, it doesn't sound like you necessarily are thinking this way, but would you see these potential donations being used in any way that the department felt was a reasonable way to use the donations? In other words, could they go directly into the operations fund element of the Marine Highway system?
So, thank you, through the chair, Representative Ortiz. One of the things that I would anticipate is it could be, and of course the bill is pretty open and would allow DOT to create some kind of a structure. I would anticipate that the department would be able to utilize the funds in a way that it saw would help benefit the Marine Highway system, but I think it would be very difficult for the department to utilize it to replace existing operating funds. If there were things such as maybe adding special service at certain times of the year or other things that might not be in a regular budget, they could approach the people that had put the money in and say, we've got these situations coming up. And almost, I guess, one of the things that it does remind me a little bit of is some contributions that we've had in Juneau to the Juneau Community Foundation. And there is a board for the Juneau Community Foundation. And when individuals have an idea for what some of that money can be used for, they go to that board and say, we've got a proposal here for something. And it seems to me DOT could set up a organization or an arrangement where they would come up with an idea. Perhaps it's a system study, or perhaps it's providing a special run, or perhaps it's to do something unique, and they go to the shareholders and say, well, we've got this proposal and there's this much money available from the contributions, and get authorization to utilize that for some of whatever the proposal is that comes in that could benefit the Marine Highway system. I do have a constituent just recently that came into my office and talked about the possibility of maybe doing some marketing for the Marine Highway system, because marketing is something that provides the attention of the Marine Highway system, but is something that is not easy to fund when we have declining revenues. So perhaps if there's a specific idea of a promotion or something like that, maybe that could go before this group and they can say, yeah, that sounds like a great idea to try and bring ridership into the Marine Highway system. Or maybe some of the money could be used to help support the Forest Service interpreters, because they were taken off of the boats because there wasn't space available. Maybe they could buy a stateroom for an interpreter for a route or something like that. So those things that would enhance or add to the service of the Marine Highway system.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Let's see. I'll see if we've got more questions. And also, I would like to ask either Mike Lessman or Mike Musil if they've got any comments from the DOT. And then what we'll do is we'll go into public testimony. And we've got Skagway, Jen Rentmore, willing to testify, as well as Robert Venables with Southeast Conference. So I guess, are there questions? Representative Hughes?
Yeah, I have a question for the sponsor, and then if you bring on DOT, they might like to respond too. Because I am envisioning, if this were to pass and a community would give a sizable amount of money in a particular year, wondering whether you have any sense that a community might expect that there might be, rather than money going in a general pot for the entire ferry system, whether they might be expecting, you know, an increase in service to their community because they gave an amount, and then whether you think DOT might feel obligated that way, or they would think, if you had conversations, whether they think it would be more as going into a general pot so that it would be spread out among the entire system. I mean, how do you expect that to work?
Co-Chair Hughes, and an excellent question. Those are conversations that I have had with the Department of Transportation, and the intent is not that it go back into a specific community, but that that money go into a general pot to be used for the betterment of the Marine Highway System in some way. And Department of Transportation, if there is any confusion on the record, has some language that, that they have suggested that might be utilized in, either as intent or further description in the language that basically says that a contribution would not be or should not result in expected service to a community. So a community shouldn't be able to come in and say, I want to give the Marine Highway System $1,000 and I want 3 trips a week or something like that, that the Marine Highway System would be able to utilize that money for the benefit of the entire system.
Okay, and follow up?
Follow up.
Do you have any support letters at this point from communities, or is this kind of still evolving? And perhaps if that language were added, you'd be communicating with communities. For me, I'd like to see what the communities are thinking. I believe that's important. So are there any support letters yet?
Co-Chair Hughes, we do not have any direct support letters. We are still kind of working on the bill as an idea. So thank you. We will work on that. We'll be working on that along with Department of Transportation and whether that, that language is necessary to make sure there's clarification needed.
Okay, and then I have a new question.
Follow.
We heard in here, and I don't remember the particular what we were discussing, but it came up, I think, with the department, that there was one community in, I don't know if it was Ketchikan, but where a school, there was a ferry that sits there all the time, and so and it's scheduled certain days, and if they needed to use it a different day, they asked the school district to provide to cover the cost to run it, and maybe DOT can address that. And I was wondering how that transaction worked. You know, did that money go into this fund? Is there already a way for money to go into the fund? I thought that was a unique situation. Am I dreaming this, or do you all remember something about that?
I don't remember anything about that.
Mike Lessman's shaking his head, so I'm not crazy. Okay, so perhaps when DOT comes up, they can talk about it. I'm just wondering if those checks were going into the fund already. So,
Madam Co-Chair, I don't know anything about that and would be curious to learn more. Thank you.
Okay.
Any further questions of Representative Kito? Seeing none, I'd like to ask if the DOT has any comments, Mike Musil, or who's online, or Mike Lessman. If there are no comments, that's fine, I guess, unless folks have...
Well, I would like to respond to the questions I had.
Okay. You could just put yourself on the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Co-Chair, Madam Co-Chair, and committee members. For the record, Mike Lessman, Special Assistant to the Commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, primarily here to answer questions, and of course, we'll defer to Captain Musil, Deputy Commissioner Mike Musil, if he is online, but happy to answer questions.
Okay. Representative Hughes?
I just wonder if you could, DOT could respond just to not the last question about that special situation with the ferry in one town, but just the general question about a community giving a large amount and what the expectation and how DOT would see that, just to hear it from DOT. I do trust my colleague. I just want to get your thoughts on it.
Sure. Madam Co-Chair, we interpreted the bill to be voluntary on municipalities' parts and assumed that that meant the contribution would go into the operating fund for the entire system. Okay. Certainly, we recognize the potential to for a municipality to make a contribution and have an expectation, and perhaps that is a piece of the bill that could be worked on a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
As the sponsor said, we've offered some language to him in terms of a potential CS.
All of
them? And then the second part was to respond to the other question about the unique situation in the one community where sometimes they request an extra day that the ferry run. How does that work, and is that going into the fund? And where was that, too, by the way?
I can address that if you desire.
Captain Musil, if you could put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deputy Commissioner Mike Musil, Department of Transportation, overseeing the Marine Highway System. Let me answer Representative Hughes' question first regarding the community that the example she brought up. It was I that mentioned that during testimony when we made a presentation to the Health Transportation Committee. The community is Mesa Kappa. They typically private individual get service 5 days per week from the motor vessel to Tuya. On occasion, they desire a special run on the 2 days that that vessel does not operate. And rather than just provide that at the base expense, or say no because it's not scheduled then, we came up with the unique arrangement of if they would guarantee that the cost of operating that vessel on the extra day would be met, and those costs being the overtime for the crew because it's their normal days off, and the fuel cost of making that run, if the school district or the requester of that special service would guarantee that the Marine Highway System would be reimbursed for those additional costs, we would be glad to add that special run on. And in fact, have done that, I think, 3 times to date with that particular example. It works well in that community because the Latuya only operates 5 days per week. It's tied to the top the other 2 days of the week. And adding it back in on those extra days, if the crew is available, is certainly something that we can do. But meeting those costs worked well, and the school district was more than happy to guarantee that. Those funds came in just like any other ticket sales came in, went into the Marine Highway Revenue Generation Fund and rolled into the Marine Highway Fund as any other ticket sales would. I hope that answered the question.
A follow-up.
Hello?
So it did roll into the fund, so would this language really be needed, or if the community wanted to cut a check, it could already go into the fund?
Co-Chair Hughes, it went into the fund because it was a fee for service. We provide a service, so the funds that were guaranteed by the school district went in to pay for that service. I think what Representative Tito's bill proposes is to allow communities to provide a contribution to the Marine Highway System Fund without us providing a direct service, and not paying for a service as the community of Metlakatla did for the Latuya, but just contributing funding to the Marine Highway Fund to help support the Marine Highway System.
And so follow up. So as a fee, the statute allows it to go in, but as a donation or contribution, it doesn't unless we add this language. Is that correct?
To come to your views, I believe so. I don't know that we would have a mechanism to accept funds from a community and put it to the Marine Highway System if we did not provide a direct service for them. The use of this technique of the Kapla community and the Latuya was new. It seems to have worked well. But like I said, there was a service provided and a fee generated that went into the fund to pay for that service. Doing it without a service provided and just taking the funding to put into the fund would be, I would think, a challenge. Not sure how we would handle that.
Okay, and a follow-up?
Hello?
Now, I don't want to predict or prophesy something that would cause a problem down the road, but I'm thinking of that particular situation where a check is being written for a fee for that ferry to provide extra service, and then you have another community, and yes, it doesn't have a ferry that's tight, it is there 7 days a week, they're making a contribution. I would hope, and can you assure me that there wouldn't be a problem with that community then wanting extra service because, yes, it's a contribution, but, you know, look at Metlakatla, they pay a fee and they get extra service. So are you comfortable that we wouldn't have that crossover and that kind of problem?
To Co-Chair Hughes, I am comfortable with that. We have discussed that with Representative Tito, and there is a recommendation, at least from the department, to amend the bill to put language in that says that any contributions made just as a contribution to the Marine Highway Fund from a community do not come with a guaranteed level or expected level of service. That is one of the concerns that we raised initially when we reviewed the bill and thought that the amendment to make that clearer would be advantageous. Obviously, any source of funding for the Marine Highway System that has the potential to supplement or reduce general funding that has happened over the last several years would be good in terms of operating the system. And this looks to be a way to potentially generate some funds outside of the general fund that would help do that.
And follow up? Okay, I'm going to stretch a little bit more because we always have to think far ahead in the kind of unintended consequences. So that language would take care of it's a contribution. But if I'm a community that's deciding to give a sizable amount to the ferry, and I know that there's one community that pays for a fee and gets service, might not you have community, is there a chance you think that communities would be approaching you and said, instead of giving this, you know, $500,000 to contribute to the whole system in the general pot, we're approaching you with this $500,000 because we want some extra service to our community. Is that something that might happen? I suppose that could happen now. But do you see that could potentially...
Yes, that possibility exists. There is the potential for this bill to generate some competition, I guess, between communities. We would have to manage that. I think that if a community requests special service, an additional run that special service, we do a cost evaluation of that to determine if that's a worthwhile thing to do or not. A lot of communities would like to have a special run here or a special run there. Hey, can you support this event? And we actually do look into the dynamics of that in terms of how many potential people will be served by that, how many potential people will be impacted by that by having their already published schedule change. Things like that are evaluated to make a informed decision as to whether making a change to the schedule or an addition to the schedule is warranted. Now, the capital is a bit of a unique situation with the Lituya being essentially laid up 2 days every week. Most other communities are served by vessels that operate 7 days a week or around the clock, 24 hours a day. And the similar situation of, hey, if you guarantee us the additional cost of running that vessel, we'll be glad to provide that additional service, isn't quite so easy in other communities as it is with the Lucia and Metlakatla.
Follow up. And I would guess too that because the ferry wouldn't just be docked up, that right there, that in these other communities, if they requested that, it would be a lot more expensive, I'm guessing. It would also throw off the rest of the schedule. Is that a correct assumption?
Two quick reviews. Yes, both of those are correct. The Lituya is our least expensive vessel to operate, lowest fuel burn rate, smallest crew, relatively inexpensive vessel to operate. Any other vessel is a larger expense, and that gets factored in accordingly when we determine the cost effectiveness of making a schedule change.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Captain Newsom, for testifying today. You may not, for whatever reason, not be able to tell me this, but being that Metlakatla is in my community, my original when I heard about this situation, I thought, oh yeah, it's Metlakatla. But I was thinking Founders Day. Can you tell me what this particular thing was for? Because the contribution sounds like it came from the school district, so I'm thinking it might have been a school event. And you might not be willing to tell me that, so I understand.
Through the country, Representative Ortiz, I am willing to tell you that. It was not Founders Day. It was a school event based on, I believe, might have been a swimming event. I'm not sure what sport it was, but a sports team needed to travel to get to Ketchikan to catch a flight to attend a tournament, I believe. And they needed to travel on a day that the Lituya did not normally run. So we worked out the arrangement that I described previously, where they were willing to guarantee the additional cost that the state would incur, and we were happy to provide the additional service. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody.
Hello. So with that in mind, you know, I know you're very much aware, and I'm very much aware of the need sometimes for special runs for special events, whether it's an event in Prince Rupert or whether it's the Region 5 basketball tournament. These are something that up to now, the ferry system has done a pretty good job of accommodating their schedule for. But as the funding levels seem to go down, I could see where that could get to be a problem. Would this bill introduced by Representative Keto perhaps assist or be able to contribute to the process of these special events, these big events, whatever they are? Is that a potential? Of course, the contribution would probably have to come from either the host community or from the region as a whole. Anyway, I'm just trying to think about how this might work out. What do you think about that?
Mike Musil, if you, just one moment, I just wanted to put the record, just let the recorders know that I was going to hand the gavel over to Representative Hughes. Thank you. Go ahead, Captain Musil.
Go ahead, Captain Musil.
Your point is accurate that with the reduction in funding and the reduction in service, we have fewer vessels available to try and accommodate special requests. There are events that happen. You mentioned several of them. There are several others, like the State Fair in Haines and international road relays and bike races and those types of things, where we would like to add on additional vessels to provide additional capacity to support the communities hosting those events and get participants to and from those events. That becomes increasingly more difficult the fewer ferries that are running, and we are in a downsizing mode in terms of how much we schedule due to funding constraints. Would this bill allow more of that to happen? Hard to say. I think at this point, I'm not sure how many communities would willingly chip in to the Marine Highway Fund to help support special events. Adding on an additional vessel, if it's in layup status, bringing a vessel out of layup status and scheduling it to run is a very expensive proposition in terms of gathering a crew, provisioning the vessel, getting it to the right location from wherever it's laid up at, those types of things. That's a relatively expensive process that most likely a community or a small group of communities is not going to be able to do, at least not initially in this process, with the funding allowed to be provided through this bill. That being said, I am not one to turn down any contribution to the Marine Highway Fund that would help support the Marine Highway System and provide essential ferry service throughout Alaska. So I can't specifically answer your question because I don't know how much various communities would contribute to this and whether that would allow us to, say, add on an additional run or bring a vessel out of a layup status to operate for a certain period of time in support of a special event.
Thank you.
All right. I think that must be it, being that it's just Representative Ortiz and myself at this point. Our questions have been answered. Thank you, Mr. Lesman and Captain Newsell. And with that, I am going to open public testimony. And I'm wondering, I believe that my co-chair announced Robert Venables from Southeast Conference as being in the room for questions, but actually I would like to hear what he's thinking. So I guess I do have just a general question. What are you thinking, Mr. Venables, if you put your name on the record regarding this bill?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. My name is Robert Venables. I'm the Energy and Transportation Coordinator for Southeast Conference. I also do chair the State's Marine Transportation Advisory Board. And I think, this bill hasn't gotten a vetting, with the MTAP yet, and some members have through the Southeast Conference Network, but really hasn't been vetted through or any positions taken. Although I think that it does speak to the heart of what we see throughout the communities, and that is the sponsor's intent of having a community engagement at a much higher level than currently exists, at least in their minds. And so finding mechanisms that allow and facilitate that type of engagement, I think, is a worthy consideration. As you both know from having participated in our discussions a couple of weeks ago at Southeast Conference, we're very much dedicated to the development of a strategic plan that I think would, as part of the components of that plan, would take this discussion to the next level as well. We're looking at all revenue streams, federal, states, local, and seeing, you know, what, how to better engage and what revenue streams could be made. So I think that's, it's a discussion that's worth having and worth continuing, and Southeast Conference is going to, be pursuing that as well. One thing that did come to mind as you were speaking with Representative Kito, years ago there used to be interpretive specialists on board that would give talks along the way to different ports. And there could be a scenario to where on certain vessels, on certain routes, those communities could possibly put together a program and perhaps cooperatively hire that person. So I think there are some mechanisms that could be explored to make sure that we're utilizing the opportunities with the assets as are being deployed throughout the region, and making sure that the communities are better served at all levels. So it is definitely something that we're going to continue having a discussion on as we move forward.
I do. I'm forever curious. I'm sorry. So MTAB, Marine Transportation Advisory Board, correct?
That's
what this acronym is. How often does MTAB meet, and has MTAB met since this bill was filed? And it sounds like they have not discussed it yet. And when will they meet next? And will it be part of the next meeting?
Excuse me, Madam Co-Chair. The Marine Transportation Advisory Board tentatively is scheduling its next meeting for after the session ends, to when we see where the pieces may lie on many fronts. And so this would be one agenda item that, being chair, I can assure you will at least get on the agenda for discussion.
And was this filed as of the last meeting that you had, and was it discussed at all?
It had not yet been filed, no, ma'am.
Okay.
We last met in November, either November or the beginning of December, with my recollection.
All right. And since I was handed the gavel, I'm going to indulge myself here. And just if with the bill sponsor, in all respect of your bill, just go a little bit away from the bill for a second, just to better understand MTAB and how effective you feel that they've been in helping guide the happenings. Just, you want to talk about that a little bit? And if MTAB stays as it is, how effective do you think MTAB will be in helping bring solution?
Well, I think
to the funding shortage and what we're facing, trying to keep the service.
And Madam Co-Chair, I think that it really goes to the heart as to the mission and purpose of the body. Its original intent before being adopted by the legislative statutes, was being drafted to be much more of a collaborative effort to provide oversight and integration with development of policies and programs and operations to a much greater extent. That did not happen, and so the current form of MTAB as an advisory board really has its primary role as being a liaison as the department wishes to use it, going out toward communities, and then as issues arrive in communities, we try to facilitate the communication flow. We are, by statute, really only given two primary tasks. One is advising on the hire of the marine transportation, either the operation manager / deputy commissioner, we know how that position evolves, and then the integration of the development of, or in collaboration with the department, developing long-range plans. And so and that has been a little frustrating through these past years, as the Southeast Transportation Plan really has not been updated for many, many years. We have provided some input, but it's such a political arena that it's really hard to get traction when you're going from one session to the next or one administration to the next, which, again, brings us full circle to why Southeast Conference really thinks there needs to be a process and a product and plan that is kind of an arm's length from that intense political atmosphere.
And so it sounds like I'm hearing you say there's room for improvement, and maybe some Southeast Conference might be making some recommendations for some changes. Would the MTAB also be making those recommendations? Do you foresee that?
I do foresee that, Madam Chair. And at the last MTAB meeting, Southeast Conference came and made a presentation as to the intent and need, and so we expect to see MTAB involved with that. Southeast Conference hopes to lead that initial ground effort, but not under purview of just Southeast Conference, which basically is, you know, Yakutat, Cordova, down to Metlakatla. Really sees it as a statewide initiative and has already been reaching out across the state to make sure that all stakeholders and user groups for the marine highway system is involved in shaping its future.
All right, thank you. Do you have any more, please? Representative Ortiz.
Actually, Madam Chair, your question was actually going to be my question about how MTAB works in terms of its impact on the overall process. However, the MTAB board itself does, I think you might have said this already, consist of members throughout Alaska, and does it also deal with a lot of other issues besides Alaska Marine Highway system issues?
Through the Chair, Representative, it does not extend beyond marine highway issues. It really is focused on the marine highway system. Those are the topics that it's really constrained to, but it does have a very diverse group of community and business leaders that are from across the state. We've got a number of folks in the Anchorage area. We had one from Fairbanks at one point. But then most of them are leaders from the community from Unalaska down through Ketchikan.
And I think you spoke briefly about this as well, but and obviously you're a member of both the Southeast Conference and MTAP. Is there regular cooperation and communication other than through yourself between MTAB and Southeast Conference?
Through the Chair, obviously I am in a position to help facilitate that, and so which is why Southeast Conference did have someone other than myself to speak to that issue at the last MTAB meeting, but it does help that we want to make sure that, you know, the efforts of whatever organization, whether Southeast Conference or others that are engaged with marine transportation issues, have a forum to be heard and to provide information in a more public and formal manner to DOT. Anyone's free to work directly with DOT, and DOT has been responsive, or at least been very receptive to hearing communities and individuals. I do applaud them for that, but there are times where communities and individuals and organizations feel like they need to have a more heightened formal communication with DOT and get on the record, and MTAB is able to help provide that, and sometimes brings a little more resolution that they're looking for.
Well, thank you very much, and appreciate those in the room for the bill that we gave us that leeway. Thank you. It was good to hear from you, Robert. And online we have Jan Rentmore with the Skagway Municipality for testimony, I believe. Jan, are you there? And if you'd like to testify, please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you very much, Madam Co-Chair. My name is Jan Rentmore, and I chair the Skagway Ad Hoc Marine Highway Committee. And we are monitoring this bill. We have not had an opportunity to discuss it yet in committee or at the Assembly Chamber. So we're looking forward to working with Representative Keto in the future on it. I do have one question. I've had some trouble formulating it, but my question is, I understand that communities, if they made a contribution, could not expect to have increased service to their area. But here's an example of a specific request that wouldn't be particularly beneficial to one particular community. But so, hypothetically, if two or three communities felt strongly that the Marine Highway public marketing program should be enhanced or reinstated, would we be able to make a contribution and tie it to that specific request that marketing be for the entire Marine Highway be increased?
And I think that would be a question. Thank you for that, Jan. Do you have any other testimony in regard to the bill, or are you finished? Because
that was just the question I was trying to formulate as I was trying to understand what this bill would accomplish.
Okay. Thank you very much. And so I will ask DOT if Captain Musil is still on, or whether you'd like Mike Lessman to take that question.
Yes, Co-Chair, Deputy Commissioner Musil. I don't know the answer to that question. We have not formulated a plan yet for how such contributions would be utilized and whether they could or should be directed to specific purposes such as marketing that Ms. Rathmore mentioned. It seems like a possibility. To be honest, we have not discussed that in detail and what the accounting aspect of that would require, but it doesn't sound impossible to me.
All right. I would ask if we maybe could get follow up on that particular question of how that would work. And Ms. Rentmore, you could certainly check in with my office, and we'll get you that answer, or the bill sponsor. And then I'd also like to ask, I meant to say this before Robert finished up, but I would like, if possible, for the committee to hear back from after the next MTAB board, if any decision was made or where you all stand. That would be helpful information to have. So I don't see anyone else online. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? And seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony at this. Actually, I'm going to unclose it because we're going to hold this bill, and we might have someone next time. I think that would be the smart thing to do. I don't know if I just threw things off by doing that, but that's what we did. So we're going to hold this bill over for a future date. Thank you, Representative Keto. It's a very interesting concept and a lot of things to think about. So our next meeting will be next Tuesday, April 5th, right here at 1 p.m., and we'll be hearing House Bill 144, the Dalton Highway Maintenance Fee. And at 1:51, the House Transportation Committee is adjourned.